As human beings out here in the world, we have no doubt experienced many occasions to take the roads to travel from one location to another. And so, in order for us to experience a safe and timely arrival at our desired location, we follow specific directions from a map, these days from GPS, or whatever application. Now, once the road is established and the way is clear forward, we are not to deviate from it, as it would be foolish to do so. For instance, I know of a man that, after recently settling here in our area, decided to drive to upstate New York to visit his family. He plotted his course from a paper map. Yes, there was no internet applications back then. But when arriving in a certain Pennsylvania town, noticed a detour sign directing him to go this way. Now, all this man had to do was to follow the detour sign, to stay on the straight and correct way forward. But given what he thought would for sure be a better route, he abandoned his map, disregarded the detour sign, and took a turn on a road that went up into the mountains. Now, surely, in no time, he would come down on the other side of this mountain and be just where he wanted to be. Well, after a half an hour or so, it started snowing heavily. It was getting dark, and there were no street lights. There were no road signs to point him in the direction in which he needed to go. And so, with snow and ice accumulating on the road, and feeling a growing sense of anxiety, he realized that he was indeed lost. Why had he not followed the map and the detour sign? Why didn't he follow that sure path? And now look where he was, in the dark, caught in a heavy snowstorm on an icy, dangerous road. And so he turned his car around and headed back to the way from which he had come, having to carefully maneuver his way back down the icy road to that very same detour point that he had previously disregarded. And after so much wasted time, fraught with anxiety and high blood pressure, he finally got on the correct road, feeling much less stressed and very grateful in the knowledge that, yes, he was on the straight path home. Folks, within each of us is an eternal and loving guiding light, a spiritual compass, if you will, a light that is all good, all love, all abundance, all health, and perfect in each and every way. This light is the Christ light, which is of the Father within, that Father that the Master told us doeth the works. In realization of our truth, letting God consciousness lead the way, only good is experienced and demonstrated. When we follow the light, when we live and walk in it, regardless of the situation at hand, we can rest assured that we are always on the correct path, one that is abundant, joyous, and loving, the proven and perfect way forward. Throughout our human lives, we have been in situations where we have made certain decisions to take one action or another, to follow this path or another, or to act or speak in this way or another. Whatever the case, it is through our dominion and the power of mind to make such decisions. And based upon the nature of our thinking, those decisions shall result in a certain demonstration and experience out here in the world. For instance, in the human example mentioned earlier, when we saw a man whose willfulness certainly led him astray. So how many of us here this morning start each day by earnestly going within, seeking that His will be done? But no sooner have we gotten out the door than we find ourselves walking in fear, in anger, in a sense of lack. Well, my friends, not to worry, because just like the man who willfully found himself on the mountain road lost, all we have to do is turn around and get back on the right path forward. Yes, when we walk in and of our Father as individualized Christ, we shall be on the one perfect road that always, always leads us back to the garden, to Eden, to the kingdom. When we walk in Him, in a realization of Him, in and of us, when we wear the spiritual armor of our truth, none of the world's appearances can touch us, can take us off the path, unless we ourselves, consciously turn away from our source and appropriate a sense of separation from Him. The world of form, of effect, of appearances shall always present to us certain forks in the road. But once we gain but a smidgen of God consciousness, once He is alive within us, it is He that takes us forward, always on the right and perfect path. And so in His message to the Colossians, in Colossians 2, verses 6, 7, Paul said, "As we have therefore received Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him." Let me say that again. "As we have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein in thanksgiving." Now, thinking back about those instances when we felt fearful, when we felt angry, when we felt resentful, maybe even when we felt useless, there is no doubt that at those times, we were walking alone. We were walking in the darkness, living in a sense of separation from God, without the Christ mind leading the way. And my friends, why is it that we find ourselves within God consciousness 1 hour, but within the very next hour, we decide to turn away and go it alone, foolishly seeking purpose, seeking our essence in a temporary material world? Is it at these times that God simply up and left us? That God turned His back on us? Of course not, because this is impossible, as we are one in Him and He in us. Rather, it is at these times that, like the Master, when temptation appears and error calls to us, we must think and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But, in so many times, because of our limited consciousness, the human takes charge. And just like Adam and Eve, we find ourselves outside of the garden. And all the while there has been and continues to be a glorious voice telling us over and over and over, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Now, as we know through our truth teaching of divine science, God can never be separate and apart from us. And we, even during those times when we look away from him, can in truth never be anything other than that which we are. And when we read Corinthians 2, 6, verse 16, "For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they my people." So there we have it, folks. But we always knew that, and we know that, don't we? He dwells in us and walks in us. This being the case, by consciously and earnestly abiding and walking in his omnipresence, our way forward in him is full of grace, peace, joy, wisdom, knowledge, health, and love, and the realization of eternal life. And don't we know it as well? The choice is always ours. It is a choice of all individuals, always, each and every day, each and every moment. Is it the temporary material world of ego, a false power, era of human personality we walk in? Or do we die to self as the Christ goes forth in us? And so we read in Scripture, Matthew 19, verses 20 through 22. The young man said, "I have obeyed all these commands. What else do I need?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, then go and sell all that you own. Give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the young man heard Jesus tell him to give away his money, he was sad. He didn't want to do this because he was very rich. And so he left. He walked away. And of course, whether it be money or any other material form of human desire, such a scenario goes on every day in the lives of untold numbers of individuals, our lives included. Now, we cannot serve two masters, God and, as there is but one and one alone. So choose ye this day. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Yes, we are to deny ourselves. Pretty simple thing to do, right? No, not so. Not so. As it cannot be done through the limited human self. It cannot be done through our intelligence, by reading books. No, not so. As it cannot be done through the limited human self, it is by grace and grace alone that we find ourselves walking in and of him. And although none of us have yet to arrive at such a consciousness as did the Master, it is through our communion within. It is through earnest and continued meditation and humble and earnest prayer that we appropriate a higher and higher degree of God consciousness. But until God consciousness is incorporated in all individuals everywhere, we shall continue to see certain people driving vehicles with bumper stickers that read, "God is my co-pilot." Thus believing that they are a power unto themselves, their God is on standby, only needed when necessary to save them from some human calamity. They continue to navigate a course that shall always take them off of the true and only perfect spiritual path. You know, when writing this lesson, I had a thought. It was a thought about a man that lived many, many, many years ago. He was a zealous man whose self-imposed mission it was to persecute and, yes, to kill Christians. All the while believing he was doing the work of the God of his understanding. Yes, he was highly religious, very religious, but he was not walking in truth, but rather in dogma, in a belief of a God that punished the bad, but rewarded the good. And as I thought about this man, Saul, a dogmatic Pharisee, I found it so amazing, so inspiring, so full of grace, that even he, by breaking through his intellect in his realization of truth, would become the very Paul that wrote and spoke of the absoluteness of loving one another, of living and walking in the Christ of our being. Yes, Saul of Tarsus, a Hebrew Pharisee, on the way to Damascus to round up those that were of the Christ way, to bind them and bring them back to Jerusalem. This Saul of Tarsus experienced one of the most profound realizations noted in the Bible. While he was nearing Damascus, a light dawned on him in a blinding flash, and he saw the Christ as the foundation stone of the way. And that way was a life to be lived, a spiritual path to be followed without swerving. Thus, in submission and in humility, Saul began the life of Paul. And his willingness and religious convictions disappeared. He was attuned to and obedient to the inner voice. He began to look within and not without, to study love instead of hate, tolerance instead of persecution, reasoned understanding rather than bigoted devotion to an inherited faith. And don't we know that metaphysically, the Bible is indeed all about our coming into realization of our truth, our looking within, as told by the Master, our oneness in a Father within us, and not separate and apart from us. And so, too, metaphysically speaking, is the story of Saul. Yes, Saul represents the unconverted personal human consciousness. That son of man being willful in carrying out his desires and enforcing his convictions on others. Yes, that man whose breath is in his nostrils, trying to preserve by force and authority the religion, the God concept to which he acknowledges allegiance. Now, when this ignorant mind is at work in us, as it was in Saul, tradition and error have brought more weight than truth intuitively discerned. Yes, each of us being a Saul, until light of realization breaks through, and we come to know our truth, and hopefully, like Paul, shall live and walk in it. And as we know from the Bible, although his Christian beginnings were small, Paul's complete record as a Christian is a gigantic one indeed. And he truly lived and walked in and of the Christ that was his truth. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now, spiritually speaking, my friends, we all, that's all of us on the phone today, every one of us, took a path to get where we are at this point in our lives, spiritually speaking. And I would say that none of us began on this path 2 hours ago, or 4 hours ago, or a week ago. Rather, like myself, it has taken some of us 20, 30, 40 or more years to find ourselves living to whatever degree of God consciousness we have realized since coming to our divine science teaching. But be that as it may, what matters most is we have arrived on the path of goodness, of love, of truth, where we, you and I, can joyfully feel his omnipresent being within and of us always, that we may walk in it if we decide to do so. So let us know that the circumstances that brought us here together do not matter. As a matter of fact, it could have been fear or a sense of lack and limitation. Perhaps it was a health problem, a financial problem. Perhaps it was a broken heart, a divorce, a breakup, the loss of a job. Regardless, we are here by grace. And our souls are always moving in the direction of God within. And to the degree that we live and walk in this realization, to the degree that we die to self as he leads us forward, we can be certain that the kingdom is ours. And should we stray from the path, so be it. Should we sin, so be it. We go back within and continue to seek a deeper realization of our eternal truth. You see, God remains in and of us always. Always. Even during those times when we look away, when we're out in the dark, walking through Egypt, so to speak. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. By keeping the Father's presence within the forefront of our minds, our hearts, our souls, and by walking and living in that truth consciously, our demonstrations shall be likened to him. They shall be nothing but love, all goodness, power, abundance, joy, satisfaction, and fullness. By practicing his presence from day to day, through prayer and meditation, by appropriating more and more and more of God consciousness, the light of our Christ shall be felt by all of those receptive individuals about us, beckoning them to seek for themselves that wonderful peace and sense of love which lives us and is shining so brightly before us. My friends, as we come to the close of today's lesson, let us go forth bearing in mind something that we have been reminded of so many times, and that is, divine science is to be lived out in the world. That faith without works is dead. And if we wonder why we see the word walk throughout Scripture, it is because it is used in connection with one's abiding God or the Christ. Because abiding in Christ, in God consciousness, we are to be loving, always doing positive and constructive work, not languishing in a passive or inert, limited mental condition. So let us get off the mental way, my friends, the human path of lack and limitation, and through growing realization, let each of us walk in the light of perfection, in our truth, in the light of Christ. At the end of the day, my friends, it is up to us alone to decide where we look and where we walk. So we make this lesson practical today and into the future. Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Assume a listening attitude. Sit comfortably. Be still, knowing that you of yourself can do nothing. Father, it is a joy to realize that your power and your strength are sufficient so that I can face and conquer every so-called problem in my human experience. Your spirit alone dwells within me and surrounds me. You have given me life, and you are the glory of my being. You live me and move me and comfort me so that I am never alone, never lacking, but am now and forever complete in your eternal good. Father, my sole purpose is to come to you, to know you all the more, to grow continuously in you as one. You are love, Father, and love is conscious unity with good. Good for me and for everyone about me. I am of your creation, and as I relax and turn within to the one power, the one Father of all, as I turn within and feel your indwelling spirit, I realize all the more the growing consciousness of my Christhood. Even as the oak comes forth from the acorn, it is a natural law of spiritual unfoldment. You have set before me an open door, and I walk through it freely, humbly, easily, and joyously into the radiance of my own Christhood. Truly, Father, I am blessed and live by your grace alone. for the awareness of your loving presence that is here and now in all of its glory, in all of its magnificent power. Almost loving God. I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen. Have a wonderful day, my friends. Go in peace.